And joining us right now is Gordon Chang. Gordon is the author of Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. He's also a Forbes contributor. Welcome back to Mornings on the Mall. Gordon, great to have you.
Thanks so much, Mary.
Gordon, obviously this is clearly in your wheelhouse with North Korea. What I wanted to first address with you is President Trump's rhetoric, as people are calling rhetoric, what he said about North Korea being greeted with fire and fury, the likes of which the world has never seen. A lot of people saying that it's too harsh, it's rhetoric, he's escalating things, but yet General Mattis came out and said he's just speaking in the language in which the North Koreans will understand. What side of that are you on? Was it over the top or was it the right tone to take?
Well, I certainly might have used different language, but I would have said essentially the same thing. And it's important for the president to make two points, and I think he certainly did that. First of all, he reinforced the message of deterrence with regard to the North Koreans. Deterrence right now looks like it's slipping, especially when the North Koreans feel confident in their arsenal. They may try to do things which would surprise us, like trying to break the treaty with South Korea, get our troops off the peninsula, so they therefore and absorb South Korea. And the second thing that President Trump did, and this is even more important, is he warned the Chinese about how serious this confrontation could be. So I think it was important for President Trump to make those messages, to issue those messages, and I'm glad he did.
Now, in reaction to this, the North Koreans have said explicitly yesterday they now have plans that they're going to try and get together by mid-August and then present Kim Jong-un with the option to fire four missiles in the vicinity of Guam. So they're getting down to some real specifics, which they themselves admit they're not even ready for. What if anything, does that tell you?
Well, first of all, they're sending a couple of messages to the White House. One of them is that they can overwhelm American missile defenses by sending four missiles. Same thing in March. And indeed, when we talk about missile defense, the North Koreans sort of laugh in the sense to say, well, we've got more missiles than you've got interceptors. Also, by being very specific about the landing zone, they're saying that these missiles could land as close as 18 miles off the shore of Guam, 30 kilometers. Now, that's very close to American territorial water, which is 12 nautical miles out. And what they're saying is that their guidance systems are very good. That's important because many American analysts are saying that North Korea's long-range missiles don't have good guidance. And what the North Koreans are saying is, yes, we do. And also, of course, they're showing that, and finally, and maybe this is the most important, the non-technical issue, and that is they're saying that they can escalate this crisis in many steps in one go, going from rhetoric to real action.
You mentioned missile interception. We know that in South Korea and in Guam, we've got the THAAD system to be able to intercept these things. Would it be advisable for the United States to even test this in a live situation? Should North Korean missiles be on their way towards, as you said, 13 miles off the coast?
Well, if it's really going to be heading towards American territory, and there's a possibility that it might actually touch down in American sovereign waters or, God forbid, on the island itself, then yes, we have no choice but to use our layered missile defense systems, which include, of course, the terminal high-altitude area defense that you mentioned, but also our Aegis anti-missile systems, plus other things that we have.
Are those systems useful at the point of release? As in, like, if North Korea fires something in our direction, can South Korea fire off that THAAD system, or is that a useless endeavor? It has to be nearer to the point of impact.
Yeah. The THAAD missile system that is already deployed in South Korea would not help in this particular regard.
I see.
But we do have THAAD on Guam, and we could put, for instance, Aegis cruisers and destroyers off the coast of North Korea. I actually wouldn't do that at this point. My response to them would be non-kinetic. There are a number of things that we can do that can really show the Chinese and the North Koreans that they've got to stop this, but they don't involve the use of military force or the firing of missiles.
Is China going to continue sitting on the sidelines here, or could they be working silently, quietly in the background to maybe undermine Kim Jong-un?
Well, if they wanted to, they could certainly force Kim Jong-un from power and probably disarm him. But I don't think that the Chinese are actually trying to do that. They've been fueling this crisis by providing the North Koreans with crucial equipment for their ballistic missile program and perhaps even the plans for North Korea's most advanced missiles, missiles more advanced than the ones that they tested last month. So China has been a bad actor in this. especially as we've seen China continue to support the North Korean economy and to have its banks launder money for the North Koreans. We've got to get them out of all of these activities because they do undermine good order in the international community.
Does Kim Jong-un understand what he is playing with? Does he understand the capability of the United States, or is that something that's just not fed to him, that information is not given to him?
Oh, I think Kim understands very well the military might of the United States, but that's not going to be the issue here. The issue is going to be political will. And the North Koreans have always thought that they've got more political will than the United States. So it doesn't matter that we got more destroyers, planes, whatever. It's completely irrelevant in his mind. And that's also true, by the way, for the Chinese, who are not particularly afraid of us because they think that they can push us around. And indeed, recent history suggests that both the Chinese and the North Koreans are right, which is the reason why we see so much provocative behavior from both of them.
Well, it's not a surprise that Kim would think that he has more solidified political will in his own country, given that immediately after the president of the United States said that fire and fury would be his response to further aggression from North Korea, that senators within our own country were calling into question the president's words. Is there a national security concern when the leaders of the United States seem to be disagreeing in public on what the next step is?
Well, yes, and I think that's the way certainly the Chinese and the Russians interpret it. I mean, I would look at it a bit differently in that we have a vibrant democracy where there are a lot of opinions, people get to express them, and that basically policy is the result of a lot of different views. But that's not the way leaders of authoritarian and totalitarian states view it. So they miscalculate, they underestimate the strength of the United States. We've seen this so many times in history. And unfortunately, it never really works out very well when there is this miscalculation.
Gordon Chang, thank you so much. We appreciate your expertise on this, and we appreciate you spending time with us on Mornings on the Mall.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
That's Gordon Chang, author of Nuclear Showdown: North Korea Takes on the World.